This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
It's becoming a bit of a problem. The Yankees facing the Tampa Rays. They've now dropped 4 out of 5. 6-3 final score Tuesday night in the Bronx. And the big blow came in the third inning. After Michael Perez had already singled home a run against Masahiro Tanaka. You'll remember Perez, who had the walk-off hit down in Tampa a week ago Sunday. Brandon Lau followed him to the plate. Lau was the guy who had the home run to tie that game up last Sunday. He has been scorching since, and you can guess what happened.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
He'll need a rocket up his ass to catch this one. That baby is out of here.
Yeah, 3-run bomb to dead center field. Thank you, Harry Doyle. 4-0, Masahiro Tanaka didn't have it, and the Rays were off and running. Lau has got 6 home runs since that homer a week ago Sunday, and 14 runs batted in, hitting well over 400. Tanaka, numbers not pretty. 4 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them earned. Just could not seem to get himself in gear all night.
It just seemed to be a little bit of struggle with all his pitches, having that real sharp command. A little bit off with the fastball, slider, and split. You know, he flashed some good ones, but for the most part, I think he just struggled to really have one go-to, you know, and it kind of hurt him. He was feel like searching for it a little bit, and, you know, just wasn't his night.
From the outside, it looked like his splitter was nowhere to be found, because every time he threw it, it was not diving like it normally does, and man, it was getting hammered. When it's 86, and it's not diving out of the strike zone, and it ends up right over the middle, you have got big problems, and as a result, he was getting hit. So exactly what was his problem on the mound? Here's Tanaka through his translator.
Everything kind of always come down to my mechanics. You know, if that sound, everything kind of falls into place, but it was out of sync today, and I feel like I was off balance all night. So I'll definitely need to clean this up until my next start.
Didn't have great life on his fastball either. You've seen him throw the ball 93 over the plate, a little bit up, and it feels like it's exploding into the glove. That was not the case on this night. It felt like it was more of a batting practice type fastball that was going over the plate for Tanaka. And so the Yankees end up on the short end of the stick for the 4th time in 5 games against the Rays. Offensively, some opportunities were there. Gary Sanchez homered. Luke Voit hit a 2-run homer, cut the game to 6-3. And then in the 7th inning, Voit came to the plate. He had been hitting leadoff in the game for the first time this season, something he has done before, though, in his career. And he came up with the bases loaded and 1 out against Diego Castillo. And Castillo froze him with a backdoor slider, an at bat that Voit sorely wishes he had back.
So bad. It's that bat where I knew I was going to get sliders, and he threw me one that backed up and didn't do anything. And it's frustrating because that's a spot where I need to come up in a, you know, a big area, you know, just with a base hit, anything, you know, even to sack fly to get the job done. And I failed, and it's frustrating. And, you know, even the worst part too is I got stuck on deck, you know, with a chance to tie up the game as well. So it's something I'm definitely look back on and, you know, take up my next time I face Castillo.
Urshela followed with a ground out to end the threat, and the Yankees had 1 or 2 more opportunities, but nothing that matched the chance they had in that 7th inning. They were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position on the night. And this is becoming a bit of a theme for the Yankees against the Rays. In the 5 games this year, they are now 6-for-31. With runners in scoring position against Tampa. And, you know, look, we knew Tampa was going to be a very good team with the young talent they have and the young pitching that they have. Blake Snell was pretty good throughout the start tonight, but they had opportunities, the Yankees did, and they just never found a way to come through. And what concerns me the most about this is that knowing that the Rays are good, and knowing that they're going to be nipping at your heels for a lot of the season, you can't afford to have them in your heads at all. When you're a dominant team like the Yankees are and how they're built, sometimes when you have a team that seems to have your number, it can be unnerving. And I don't think they're quite there yet. But if the Yankees were to get swept this week, I absolutely think it would be there. And here's the other problem. The bullpen for the Rays against the Yankees this season has been lights out. In their four wins, the Rays have given up just three runs over the course of 24 innings. That's pretty damn impressive, and it's an ERA of 1.12. For whatever reason, the Yankees just cannot seem to hit in the clutch against the Rays so far this year, and they cannot seem to hit against the Rays bullpen. What you can't do here is afford to let any of this get into your heads. Couple of things to notice. Number one, Gary Sanchez homered, yes, and he continues, albeit a little bit slower than you would like, but he continues to show that he is climbing his way back, and the power has certainly been there. However, we continue to hear about how great he has been defensively, how much better he has been with the pitching staff. Gerrit Cole was asked about it before the game, was effusive in his praise, but wasn't really terribly specific in a lot of the things that Sanchez is doing better. There was a lot of focus on the effort that Sanchez puts in, which is laudable, to be sure. But during the game, fifth pass ball of the season. That ties the major league lead right now, and it cost the Yankees a run in the fourth inning. So Sanchez defensively, okay, he may be calling a better game. There may be some things that are not obvious to the naked eye, but I don't see an incredibly off the charts, masterfully big improvement from Gary Sanchez defensively. And look, we know he's got a cannon for an arm, but behind the plate, there are just balls that he doesn't catch that at some point you have to be able to catch. And there also looks like times where he tries to backhand a ball, or maybe he shouldn't be. That's something that bears watching. The other thing that was interesting is the idea of Voit leading off. Now, as I said, first time he's done it this season. I think he's done it somewhere, I believe they said five times now in his career. And it was interesting in that Voit, red hot as he is, demonstrated the classic case of wanting to get your best hitter to the plate as many times as you can. And with the big boys out right now, Voit has been red hot and had the two-run homer tonight, as we said. So him coming up in the seventh inning, that's exactly what that was designed for, trying to get him the extra at bat. Just in that case, he didn't come through. And for Aaron Boone, it's going to be an option here moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's something that's definitely in play. You know, I mean, obviously he's swinging the bat really well right now. And, you know, he's always a guy that gives you quality at bats and kind of combines that on base with slug. So, you know, the more you can get him up there right now, he's definitely a candidate to kind of remain in that 1-2 spot. You know, especially why we have a few guys down.
Voit somewhat quietly has 8 home runs now, and that ties him for third in the American League, and only 2 behind Mike Trout, who's got 10. Of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. has got 11 after all of the controversy of Monday night. Speaking of which, let's recap exactly what happened between the Rangers and the Padres on Monday night. When Fernando Tatis hit a home run on 3-0, that was a grand slam, in fact, in a game in which the Padres led the Rangers 10-3. And of course, the Rangers got bent out of shape, specifically Chris Woodward, their manager. And Jace Tingley, the manager of the Padres, was bent out of shape as well at his own player. And Tatis, who didn't seem to know any better, ended up having to apologize himself after the game for hitting a grand slam off a 3-0 pitch. Now, this all stems back to the unwritten rules of baseball, which is just a phrase I am so freaking sick of hearing about. There are unwritten rules of baseball, but everybody seems to have a good handle on what they are. This may have been one 10, 15, 20, certainly 30 years ago. No more. This is not one anymore. And the reason we bring it up in this context is because you have Aaron Boone, who comes from a baseball family through and through, from his grandfather to his father down to his playing days. Take a listen to what Boone had to say and just how intricately he would take a look at this.
This is a long conversation that we should sit down and have a glass of wine over and really talk, because I do believe there is some nuance to it. And I do believe there is a sportsmanship etiquette in certain situations that you want to avoid disrespecting or having an etiquette. That's an important part of this. So I'm not all the way in the camp, just throw it all out and do whatever you want. But I do think a lot of it is outdated and really silly when we really think about it.
Silly is a great word. It's a great word. A phrase that I've heard a lot since the incident happened was, you got to have respect for the game. You have to show respect for the game. This is not disrespecting the game. This is a kid who has been taught to go to the plate and rake. He is one of the bright young stars in a game that needs bright young stars. And for Chris Woodward to get all bent out of shape, for Jace Tingley to get bent out of shape, and the only reason he got annoyed is that he was in the Texas organization last year as one of their coaches. So he didn't want to tick off the team he came from. So did the GM. He came from Texas as well. Well, if they're your buddies, they know you're not trying to run it up. And in this case, I'm sorry. You have a bullpen with the Padres that has an ERA of 6.19. Is it really out of the realm of possibility that somebody could put up a five spot and make that a 10-8 game before you realize it? Tatis hitting a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch is no big deal. And frankly, the kid, I don't know that you could say he should be celebrated for it, but he didn't flip his bat. He didn't showboat around the bases. He didn't do any of that. He did what good, young, exciting players do. He went up there, he delivered, and he celebrated in the dugout. That's having respect for the game there. But everybody else, the old schoolers, are going to be heard from here. Good for them. How about Gerrit Cole? He's not an old schooler, and he breaks it down pretty easily.
It's pretty simple for me. I mean, it's pretty hard to hit a grand slam. So, I mean, whatever count you want to try to hit one and go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so annoyed by how much attention this has gotten over the last couple of days and the idea that it's so wrong for him to do that, for him to swing 3-0. Here's an idea. Don't fall behind 10-3, or maybe don't throw a cookie on a 3-0 pitch and be annoyed that somebody swung at it. Throw a better pitch. All right, some news and notes. First of all, Aaron Judge took swings in the cage on Tuesday. Everything looked okay, and they are hopeful that he could return on Saturday against the Mets. DJ LeMahieu, they were still waiting for that third opinion from the hand specialist that treated him a couple of years ago when he injured the thumb in Colorado, but Aaron Boone had not heard prior to the game when he spoke to the media if they had talked to the doctor as of yet, but there was no indication that it was going to be any worse than the 2 to 3 weeks that they have discussed. All right, game two of this series coming up later on tonight, and it's Gerrit Cole pitching for the Yankees. Now, that obviously means you're going to go in with a great deal of confidence. Just a couple of things to remember, though, about this. Cole's worst start of the season came down in Tampa a week ago Saturday in game one of that doubleheader. Threw 107 pitches and only 4 2/3 innings. Now, he did strike out 10 in the game, but allowed 6 hits and 3 runs. So that was far from his best, what he's capable of doing. But apparently it's not off the norm for how he pitches against the Tampa Rays. In his career, he has faced them 5 times. It's all come over the last 2+ seasons. He is 0-2 in 5 starts with an ERA of 3.86. Okay, pretty good ERA. But can we agree? not Gerrit Cole-esque. This would be an ideal time to see Gerrit Cole be the purest form of himself, the most dominant form of himself, because the Yankees really have not seen that as of yet. He'll be facing Tyler Glasnow, who, how do I put this, has been terrible so far this year. He has not made it out of the fifth inning through four starts, and in his last two starts, he has allowed nine earned runs. Nine earned runs. Yeah. So if that's a good news, bad news scenario, that would be your good news out of it. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. I'm Carlin, and I'm out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.